Hi, welcome to Sacred Conversations with Vision Battlesword. This is an audio series created by me and by the Sacred Light spiritual community for our own benefit as well as for anyone else that might be interested to hear it. This represents a new kind of podcast or a new type of audio series that I call a community conversation. So I'll be talking with the Sacred Light spiritual community and we'll explore all types of topics from truth to philosophy, spirituality, consciousness, psychedelics, and many, many more. And the goal of this is just to explore reality, to explore truth, and to see what all of the different pieces and all the different perspectives are of reality that we can put together into an integration of an entirely new philosophy. So I hope you'll join me for this journey, and without further ado, here's our episode. Thanks. Harold Ahonau, my good friend. How long have we known each other? Do you remember?
Wow. Before the first Astronauts.
Yeah. Medicine for the People? Is that where we met?
Yeah, I believe so.
I feel like we met in the thick of a very strange time. You know, that 2020, 2021
yes.
portal
yeah.
that we were all going through. And I feel like it was, I know what it was. I met you certainly at a festival. I think it was the first Medicine for the People I ever went to. And I stopped by your booth. That was where I first met you. You remember
that
one?
Right. That's right. Because you have a pendant.
I bought a pendant from you. That's right. Yeah.
That's where it was.
And I was so impressed with your work as an artisan. I was impressed with you as a person, your energy, your wisdom, your just open-heartedness. I felt like we just dropped in super quick, you know, just had this connection and like, okay, yeah, I don't know when, I don't know how, but we're going to be friends. We're going to be connected somehow. And then you came to Sacred Light in April of 2022. And then I think Amber almost exactly a year later, right? Mm-hmm. 2023 in the spring.
Yeah.
It's been a beautiful time that we've had together, kind of weaving our stories. And I'm really happy that we're weaving them again, you know, a little closer together now. And thanks so much for, you know, spending this time with me to get into a really interesting conversation, I hope, and I fully expect. And before we do that, I'd just like to ask you to introduce yourself to everyone. Who are you, Harold Ahonau?
I'm a father. I'm a family man. I'm the owner of Infinite You Wellness Plus Synergy. It's basically my spiritual awakening quantified into a business, and how can I be the change that I wish to see? I'm a human. I'm here on planet Earth, and I'm here to be of service.
Beautiful. Well, as you know, I'm Vision Battlesword. I'm the founder of Sacred Light, creator of Intentional Autonomous Relating, and I'm the host of this audio series, Sacred Conversations. And I thought maybe today we would spend a little bit talking about time, because I know that's a topic that's very interesting and profound for you. It is for me as well. And I think for most people, it's sort of one of those things that's just like one of the puzzles of this experience that we have, this the nature of this universe that we inhabit. What is it? And you didn't introduce me originally to the concept of the galactic calendar, but you certainly, you know, have been one of the people that's expanded that idea for me very mm-hmm. greatly, you know, since I was originally introduced to it. And I think for myself and a lot of other people, it can seem very complex at first and confusing and like, what is this all about? Is this just kind of a different form of astrology? But you've really helped me to understand it better over time. And I'd love to kind of really get our hands dirty with that in this conversation today, mm-hmm. starting with, I guess, I just realized even I think today or yesterday that I totally skipped over the day out of time this year, or I'm sure I didn't skip over it. I'm sure it happened, but
no,
I wasn't aware of it at the time.
We got time. It's actually, it's actually the 25th of this month.
Oh, I thought it was like the 25th of last month.
No, that's Violet Ray's birthday.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Okay. Right. July. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we're still in, what is it? Blue lunar. What's the year?
It's the white overtone wizard.
Oh, this is white overtone wizard that we're in.
Yes.
I must be thinking of the previous. I must have missed a year somehow.
This is where we'll get into how these glyphs and tones and stuff like that start to like cycle through. And that it's a really cool thing how this calendar system works. But yeah, we're in the white overtone wizard. So when you look at that, you're going to look at white wizard as the tribe.
Yeah.
And then overtone is the tone. And yeah, so that's the year that we're in. So this white wizard. You know, there's a lot of magic, you know, wizards, what do? They like to play in the metaphysical. And I think, you know, a lot of people are dealing with that in all kinds of ways. And then the tone is, it's an overtone. So to me, as I like to just play with words, I don't look into like, oh, let me look at this galactic calendar and find out what someone else came up with the meaning. For me, everything is about personal play. And when I can play with words and, you know, just the way things look as my soul integrates with things where words have a deeper meaning for me. So overtone is like, it's a very pronounced set of information. It's an overtone. For some, it may not be magical right now, but it's an overtone of the metaphysical. So it's like us diving into these realms of the unseen. So we're experiencing that in a lot of different ways.
Well, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
so my first question actually for you mm-hmm. is, what is time?
Time is our baseline frequency. We operate in time, space, time. Obviously, it's a measurement. You know, when you're measuring what you operate on, then that's kind of how we walk through this life. And so I see it as a baseline frequency. If time is incoherent, then your baseline frequency is choppy. And when time is more harmonic, then your baseline frequency is more like, you know, waves that are predictable.
Is time a dimension of reality or a dimension of the universe?
Oh, I don't know yet. I don't know how far it extends. You know, we hear stories of people going into the void where time doesn't exist. And so I take those accounts to heart when people are telling their stories, when they have like near-death experiences or, you know, journeys or whatnot, and they go into this void where no time exists. So I don't know if it's a universal thing.
So if we just kind of think about a couple of different perspectives on time, there's just sort of the classical physics, the commonly accepted Einsteinian, let's say, model, which includes three dimensions of space, length, width, height, X, Y, Z, however you want to think of that. And then a fourth direction, which is really difficult for our minds to comprehend because we kind of only really can think spatially mm-hmm. in a way, but we have to kind of use our imagination and our intuition to detect this idea of a fourth direction that things can extend, which then we call time. And time is also considered to be relative, well, space and time as part of this kind of four-dimensional fabric of reality are malleable, are stretchable and compressible, bendable, curvable. So we kind of think of it as like a four-dimensional geometry, or that's the Einsteinian kind of classical physics model of things. But then there's a guy by the name of Matthias De Stefano. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I have.
So I've listened to some of his talks and audio recordings where he talks about a nine-dimensional or sometimes nine density model of the universe, starting from really a zero dimension, you know, complete unity, like thinking of things geometrically as a point, which technically has no dimension at all to it. Mm-hmm. And then moving into a first dimension, second dimension, third dimension of this space. And then the fourth dimension or density being that one which includes time. But then the fifth dimension moving to a kind of returning back to a timelessness mm-hmm. or all four of those dimensions collapsing back in on themselves into all things all at once or ever present, if you will.
The not to say singularity point.
Not exactly. I think it's more like infinite simultaneity. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's like it's not the absence of time. It's more like the completion of time, existing at all points in time.
Maybe the access to time.
Meaning what?
Meaning you can traverse it.
Yes. Yes. I think that's how Matthias might describe it. Although I think even the idea of traversing doesn't really make sense in the fifth dimension. I think maybe the way he would explain it, because you're not traversing anything. You're just already there. You're already everywhere, you know, something along those lines. So I guess coming back to then with a couple of different models now in hand to just kind of think of, coming back to our human experience, there was something you said to me in a previous conversation that had to do with how our concept of time had been intentionally distorted. Do you remember that? Yes. Talking about like the Caesarian calendar, Gregorian calendar, time is money, that little meme that we've been programmed with, all these different things, how our sense of time has been distorted. And then coming back around to your belief that this idea of a galactic calendar is an antidote to that, where instead of time is money or time is scarce or whatever these other belief systems might be, we have a new one called time is art. Mm-hmm. You want to expand on that?
Yeah. I mean, as a human or as a being, you know, I feel the purpose of us is to evolve, to learn. And with the hijacking of time and putting us what I call an incoherent time wave, it doesn't allow you to find the deepest parts of yourself without going through all the deeper processes of it. Imagery that's popping into my head is sending someone through a maze to find, you know, the end goal, which would be themselves, their authentic self, their true self, this harmonic art piece that is them. So instead of having that type of a landscape to traverse, it would be much easier to be able to hover above the maze and kind of see the road ahead of you, and that operates more in harmony with nature. I mean, because you can look at planets and stars and all these different things within our, you know, space, and they all operate on this natural cycle of whatever they go through. It's a natural cycle, and no one went to them and said, hold on a second, you need 12 months and every month's going to be a little bit different, and it's not going to be this like harmonic beating of a drum that you can have a cadence to start dancing. It you know, the other thing that pops in my head is like listening to some music that you just can't dance to because the beats are off and you can't find a rhythm to it. And when you have something that music that you're dancing to that has this galactic or cosmic rhythm that it's harmonic, then you find yourself dancing and being able to maneuver that much easier because you know that next beat that comes is predictable. And so what the Gregorian calendar does is it makes things a little bit more unpredictable. I don't remember every month and how many days are in each one. I've got a few of them picked out. Most people, you talk to them and you're like, hey, how many days in this month? And they got to look on their phone or a calendar to figure it out. That is not consistent. And then what they did is, you know, why we have time equals money is they put a working Monday through Friday, we work. Weekends, you don't. And they've indoctrinated us with things that just aren't aligned with our true. Even look at all the holidays. They've added it into the Gregorian calendar. And now we're just buying sweets at every turn for every holiday and buying into the system that they created, which is time equals money. So either they're pulling money from you or they're trying to feed you money with a work week. But I feel when we jump into more of a harmonic timeline or baseline frequency that is of the universe, it's almost like your heart has a rhythm to it. it's more predictable on how you can find or navigate your way through it.
I'm trying not to make every single episode of Sacred Conversations explicit by cleaning up my own language, you know, in terms of profanity. So I'm going to say things a little bit more delicately, but it wasn't until our earlier conversation, yours and mine, which was only just like a week ago, mm-hmm. that it really first landed for me just how much of a mind twist, and you can imagine what word I mean instead of twist, mm-hmm. how much of a mind twist that little tiny program, Time is Money, Time Equals Money, is. Wow. I mean, that one's just, it's really spiraling out for me now, and just in realizing how much damage that can do to our concept of both time and money, you know, by bringing those together and making them equivalent. Mm-hmm. This idea of the number of days in the month of our current calendar, our standard calendar, is really interesting to me as well. And there's a lot of super interesting history around that, how that came to be, like what our calendar really is made of, you know, as a mashup of a bunch of earlier versions of how to account for time that then was shaped so heavily by ultimately politics. And the history of the month of February in particular is fascinating. I mean, had it ever occurred to you to wonder, how come we've got 11 months in our calendar that have either 30 or 31 days? And then we've got this one special month that only has like 28 or 29. What is up with that? Have you ever even thought to like investigate that? I happened to do it, I don't know how long ago, a year or two ago, and was just blown away by learning how that came about.
I haven't looked into a lot of the history of like the Gregorian calendar, but I know when I've heard other takes on it, where, you know, you've got September, which Sept is 8.
Sept is 7.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's on. Yeah. So October, that's the 8, right?
July and August were inserted.
Right.
September 7, October 8, November 9, December should be the 10th month, December. Right. But then there were two that were inserted in the middle, named after two Roman emperors, Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar. Yeah.
It's all politics. And I mean, imagine just that mind twist of hearing these words that have the first part of it that actually means something that's literally taken out of where it should be to make it make sense for your soul. It's almost like hearing a lie. And your inner Geiger starts going, you know, mm-mm. And what does that do underneath? We've all been indoctrinated with it for so long that, you know, we don't even pay it any mind anymore. But subconsciously, there's got to be something going on. I mean, if you know someone's telling you a lie, or not even if you know, you don't have to know, there's a feeling emoted when a lie is expressed. And for someone that's wanting to not be a liar and want to tell the truth and want to be their best version and be transparent, operating on something that is not coherent to equal what you're trying to be will be a lot harder to try to find your balance. I really feel that a lot of people are sitting in this state of working on a timeline that is not coherent for their being. And when they go to find healing, it doesn't sit and stick as it could if we were operating in a world that made sense.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, we are inextricably embedded in our environment. You know, when I'm thinking about our relationship with time, I'm thinking about our relationship with natural cycles, the sunrise, the sunset, the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the seasons, the cycles of the natural world, growth, death, rebirth, reproductivity, all of these different things that are the ways that time intersects with our life, with our actual lived experience. you know, just starting from the most basic, right? The cycle of light and dark. And if you start to think about messing with people's concept of time, like let's just say that you put someone into a completely enclosed room and start changing the light and the dark cycle, you can completely alter that person's circadian rhythm. And you could, and if that's out of sync with other things that a person or an animal, a being of any kind might be sensitive to, be it gravity or electromagnetism or other things that seem to be completely out of sync with whatever that other experience is, you know, you could imagine going into a very confused or dysregulated state. And so the way that we track and measure time and the way that we're sort of forced into these certain types of artificial cycles, whether it's an artificial calendar with a certain number of days in the month, which doesn't equate to a lunar cycle or any sort of natural cycle really in a certain way, or daylight savings time. Don't get me started on DST, by the way. Yeah. Or just a 9-hour work day that starts at some arbitrary point in the morning and goes to some arbitrary point in the early evening that has absolutely nothing to do with the sunrises and the sunsets. Just all of these artificial impositions of a structure of time, it seems so obvious to me now how unhealthy that could be for creatures such as us, and how insidious it could be as a system of control. What do you think?
Yeah, nail on the head. Because it's like, are we insidious, or are we setting ourselves up for a pinch point for a new set of parameters, right? A lot of times you blend the positive and negative to alchemize to bring about a new creation. And I feel it is insidious, but it's also something that our soul may have set up for ourselves to have an extreme growth period. When our back is against a wall and we finally figure out, like, oh my God, I've been duped this whole time. How do I get myself out of dupeness? It's a process, and you learn from that process. So I think it's not going to be easy to find yourself, but this is also why I feel my purpose is here for this, is to spread this word of, you know, finding yourself into a harmonic time wave. And, you know, if we just take how deep time is embedded in us, I mean, literally what we said earlier is time equals money. And how important is money? So now time equals money, money equals, you know, whatever it is for us. So now you have those two things literally entangled with each other. And now you got two systems that don't make sense to a human being. And you're saying, here, survive off of this and this now. Wow, that's pretty tough.
What do you mean by pinch point? I mean, I think I know what you mean, but I'd like for you to expand on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a pinch point to me would be this infliction point where you get a tight squeeze of whatever, you know, ingredients you're putting into the mix. And so when you have this pinch point of this data that comes through you and it's very close together, it starts to create this friction. And then this friction starts to heat things up. And as that heating happens, now you start getting things melting into each other, and you create this alchemical process. And so the pinch point to me is, you, we can see it in all of the world, and most of us are experiencing it with states of bliss where the magic of the unseen, or manifesting things, or whatever inspiration comes through. And then also at the same time, we've got this really extreme negative polarity that, I mean, it is hard to escape both of those processes right now. It's a point where you have this alchemization. Something's happening. It's a pressure point. It's your back against the wall. How are you going to reinvent yourself? And how are you going to get yourself out of that point? Because we're due for an expansion, a release of that pinch point, of that alchemization, to go into the new world that we're desiring to create, co-create, and inhabit. And so there's got to be, like, you know, this infliction point that really says, assess everything. What are you going to take with you? What are you going to leave behind? Now go.
What makes you say that you think we're due for one of these inflection points or one of these pinch points or contractions that leads to a new expansion?
Because of the direction of, I mean, if we take a look outside of ourselves and we see what's happening with wars, with, you know, our education system not being, you know, conducive for a human to come out and feel like they can actually survive in this world. You know, there's just so many things around us, the death cycle of our loved ones, relationships being broken up because of what, and a lot of times it could be for the most simplest things. But again, when we go back to like, hey, this baseline frequency causes an exponential growth of incoherencies because it, you know, when we take one time, oh, it's incoherent, I can't seem to find my footing. Oh, money, I can't seem to make the money to survive. I mean, you're literally teeter-tottering, waving back and forth and creating this vibration within yourself that starts to really take you into a wobble. And if you're wobbling everywhere, it's kind of hard to go the direction that you want. Can't seem to figure things out with finances or time management. I feel it's because neither one of those things are inherently made to be harmonic. I feel we're all due for something that helps us feel a little bit more at ease and this creative space. And that's where we get into the galactic calendar with me, you know, taking the notion of time equaling art. We can go into this artistic expression of, you know, an artist, you know, in whatever modality, oftentimes we look at all kinds of things as items that we can use in our art. You know, I was looking at junk that was at my mom's house. She goes to the local church and picks up, you know, food from the food pantry and whatnot. And they had a bunch of pool noodles that had styrofoam spray on them. And they painted them these really bright colors. I don't know what they were for, but they were some type of decoration. And, you know, they threw them in the back of my mom's truck without telling her. And so she has these random trash things now at her home that she can't do nothing with. But I'm looking at them like, I think I can use that. Like, that's art. It's ugly, but I think I can use it for, you know, for my next event. And we're always looking at how to take the world around us and turn it into art. I think we'd have a much more beautiful world if we can look at things in that way and not be stuck on, oh, the deadline's this day. Oh, I didn't, you know, this art costs this much money to make, or I got to make this much money from my art. I think humans would be in a better space if we didn't have to worry about time or money and we can just be creative.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to time as art and we're going to get to the galactic calendar for sure. And before we do, I just want to explore a little bit about perception of time. I assume that you have had, you Harold, I know for a fact you have, but anyway, I assume that you have had some sort of an experience of a non-ordinary reality, an altered state of consciousness, a different perception perhaps of time. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
What do you think that's about? Of course, I have as well. And many, many people, I'd say probably everyone to some degree or other has noticed that sometimes, so interesting how we talk about things, sometimes time seems to go faster or slower, or more things seem to happen in a specific measure of time than others. Sometimes time flies literally and we don't even remember, like hours are gone. What even happened in those hours? Other times, like let's say in a dream, we go back to sleep at 4:36 a.m. and live an entire lifetime and then wake up again at 4:39. What is that all about, in your opinion?
That's the natural human essence. I think this is where we may get into that point of like, what is time? You know, what is measuring things, you know, in that fashion? And, you know, I know I've done this often where I get up and I speak every once in a while about these different things, about community activism and stuff. So I've gone to my daughter's school and had talks, and, you know, I've got up at different festivals and had workshops. And a lot of times when I get into this space of wanting to get this information that's true to my heart, it's something that comes from the center of me, and we get into this space, I call it no time. I'll look up and I wonder too, because often I've made YouTube videos and TikToks where I feel like I'm rambling and I take up like 30 minutes and I'm like, why did that take so long? Like, I didn't realize I was talking so long. But when I go in front of real people and have an audience, I can do the same thing and it takes me 5 minutes to get the same information out. And I look at time and I'm like, Amber, how am I good on my time? And she's like, that only took 5 minutes. You've got plenty of time right now. And, you know, we got these other instances where people are involved in some type of an accident, whether it's a car accident or whatever it is. And, you know, that moment of adrenaline kind of slows time down, where this millisecond of an instance of or an experience can seem like it takes forever. And, you know, that's here in the real world. What is that about? Does our actual FPS, our frames per second with our consciousness, can it be dilated? Can it be sped up and slowed down? You know, like a hummingbird or fly sees like someone swiping at them or whatever, and it takes like, whoa, I can move quick. They have this different set of time parameters that allows them to, you know, move extra fast. And so what is a fly's experience of time? They're here in the same world as we are.
Yeah, you're kind of describing like a bullet time.
Yeah.
In the Matrix movies, right?
Where yeah, yeah, exactly.
Neo can go into that. They refer to it as bullet time, where suddenly he's faster, they're slower. One way or another, their perceptions of time or their experiences of time are now happening at completely different rates, frame rates, as you put it.
And I think that's what happens when you find yourself on, you know, when you put yourself in some type of harmonic expression, your soul or your experience and your perception of it can be more malleable.
Right. I think that's what's happening. You know, I mean, or at least that's the theory that I have applied to my own experiences of non-ordinary states of reality, where it seems like hours of experience have occurred. And yet if I look at a clock, only minutes have passed, or the opposite, you know, it seems like, you know, only minutes have passed. And yet I look at the clock and it's been hours. That it seems to me that there's something really core about the experience of the perception of time that has to do with density of information, density of experience. In other words, like, just like what you said, you know, am I recording at 15 frames per second or 60? That creates a perception of time expansion, dilation, or contraction.
I feel that. I see it's our ability to have like a capacity for light quotient. I mean, everything that we're looking out, unless the room's completely dark and you can't even see your hand in front of your face, has some type of light reflecting off of it. And light equals information. So if we have some type of heavy experience that has a lot of information that's about to be engulfed by the being, let's take a car accident, for instance, where someone can, you know, they compressed the time and they saw the car sliding up to them and it was like slow motion and, you know, just like the movies. And they experienced that. When they're done with that experience, their humanness is about to take on a whole new set of parameters or information, whether they've got a, you know, their car's totaled or they are in the hospital now. And now they got to deal with family and their hurt and recovery. Like, all that is information. Those are all data points that are about to be introduced into that human's experience. So maybe they needed to slow things down at that particular junction in order for this information, which is very dense, to kind of get into the body or the experience that's going to have a longer play out time.
So now I'm super curious to investigate if there's ever been any exploration of time through the lens of information theory. Because I've been a kind of a hobbyist and enthusiast, well, all types of philosophies and things, but information theory in particular, I got really into 10, 15 years ago, and really shaped my ideas of how the universe works and our experience and everything. But I do not remember this particular concept of sort of the dimension of time, the experience of time, being directly related to the density of information. That's really interesting, because if we go back to the Einstein model, time is merely a dimension of a fabric of geometry. But I think it's really interesting to think of, to flip that on its head and to look at things through the lens of information theory, and think of information compared to entropy, patterns in information, right? If we take a string of bits, ones and zeros, the entropy of that string of bits, the information it contains is correlated to the randomness, the repeatability or the compressibility of that string of information, meaning to the extent that those ones and zeros are unpredictable, I can't compress it, which means it's going to take up more space somewhere on my hard drive in some sort of physical representation of that information, versus if there's lots and lots of zeros all strung together, or lots and lots of ones, or if it's an obviously repeating pattern of ones and zeros over and over again, I can compress that down to a smaller size. It'd be interesting to do a little bit of an analysis or an exploration around whether our experience of time, which again, another piece of this is fascinating to me in this moment, is that it's so tied to our memory. You know, like even in the analogy that we were just talking about recording, as in like a movie, frames per second. Well, that implies that it has to be recorded somewhere and then played back. And that kind of is how we experience it, isn't it? Like when we're not living in the present moment, what we're doing is we're actually replaying whatever is the experience that has already just been recorded in our memory. And then when we play that back, we look at that and we say, wow, there's not a lot of information there. It felt like only 3 minutes passed, but it was 3 hours. But I think the closer we get to that present moment awareness, it's like expanding our filter. It's like opening up our aperture wider and wider so more information can come in, which is why we get to those ever greater densities of experience, which means we're recording more information about whatever we're taking in as we traverse this continuum that we call time.
Absolutely. It's like your hard drive. Like, how much information are you at? Are you at a terabyte, 2 terabytes? Are you gigabyte? Like, how much light quotient or information have you prepped your software, hardware up to take in? And then that might tell you how fast or slow that information may come in. Like, I know I can sit and absorb a lot of information when it's something that I love or that I'm interested in. I can sit there for, again, seeming like hours, but I can probably absorb a ton of information in like 30 minutes. And I've done this often where I'm like looking up waterways and dams and our aquifer system and all these different things that would play a part into our whole planet mechanics. And I look up and I'm like, wow, dude, I just learned a lot. And it's only been 10 minutes. How did I just go from website to article, read it all, absorb it all, and take it in? And I have a theory. And, you know, this is something that we don't hear about in this day and age now. But I remember growing up, like in the 80s and 90s, there were talks about spontaneous human combustion. Do you remember hearing about that?
Oh, yeah.
I have a theory that I'm wondering, was someone sitting in meditation, or it's almost like they blew a fuse. Like, there was too much information that came in and the body was not able to handle it, and the fuse just went, whoosh. I mean, because why would that even happen? But if we're looking at the way that electrical devices and copper wires, and you need a thicker one to transfer X amount of data, and the one, you know, fuses, if it's too light of a fuse, you can blow it out quickly. And some things are set up with these very light fuses because it's saving another part of the system to not be overwhelmed. That may be a little bit more important for that person to be living. And so this is where I think some of the, how much the being is able to take in a light quotient, a quotient of like information, would maybe, this, I don't know, this would be a good thing to find out if there's any like research institutes or anybody that's played with this type of, you know, thinking and sat people down and tried to investigate this. There's got to be something out there that I can go to and find. And this is where I sometimes, as I get into these things, these ideas, and then I go out and I look, and I will find what I'm looking for, and I'll bring data back. And then, you know, this is kind of how we're, I like to operate, is investigating these things. And because I do investigating a lot, is this, you know, maybe that helps my light quotient. And would like to research myself and look at other experiences to find out, did time speed up, slow down, or did it stay the same?
Well, I think at the very least, we've, for the two of us at least, I think we've pointed ourselves in a direction of some very, very interesting curiosity and exploration. And if there's not something out there that's truly studying time in this particular way from the perspective of information, then there should be. And so hopefully that we can be an inspiration for someone in that regard. Mm-hmm. But let's just say, are you willing to go along with me for a ride here? Now that we're, I'd say we're at about the halfway point, which is perfect. Will you go with me on the ride of saying, all right, as a working definition of time for the purposes of the rest of our dialogue here, time is actually, we're going to set aside the Einstein concept of time as geometry. And instead, we're going to suppose that time is actually a measure of density of information. And what controls our perspective of time is actually the aperture that we choose to open, wider or narrower, to the experience that we are having throughout this multidimensional reality, and the filters that we put on that, the pattern recognition, let's say, that we put over our aperture of experience to say, you know, okay, all of that looks about the same. I'm not going to take that stuff in over and over and over again. I'm only going to take in the new information. And that kind of controls our frame rate. When we take those filters off, we get more information that increases the density of what we're storing in our memory of experience. And also when we open that aperture wider to different senses, to an even wider perspective, to become more and more into the real-time present moment, as opposed to, let's say, just replaying our virtual reality internally and not taking in new information. That's what we mean by time. And so in that context, what does it mean to say time is art?
So with that context, I would say, you know, again, like going back to what I said about artists being able to look around at the resources around them and be able to take those, you know, random things in and create art with it. That would be akin to taking off these filters and opening up that aperture to truly see and pay attention to the world around you, to see the bliss and the beauty of things that you can create with it. Mm-hmm. And then that should, and then if you, I think if you do that, you know, from my own personal experience, I see time kind of slows down or just honestly doesn't really play a factor in what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I'm able to look around at things and take it in more of this light quotient and turn it into art without worrying about deadlines or timelines. Mm. Where now me inherently is operating in this natural circadian rhythm of, you know, how nature likes to flow naturally. I mean, it's always going through a death and a rebirth process. And so I think if I can, you know, operate in that way, then time starts to look a lot different in the way it expresses itself.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, this conversation has been so interesting to me so far, because in the context of the galactic calendar, which is the first time that I ever encountered that phrase, time is art, which is powerful. It's a powerful disrupt. It's a powerful pattern disruptor. If you're going through your life thinking that time is money, time is valuable, time is scarce, whatever those programs are, and all of a sudden you encounter something like time is art, it's a pattern disrupt. But for me, it didn't make sense. And now, as we're talking, it is starting to, because if I'm thinking about time as this stream of information that's coming in through my aperture, my lens, my assemblage point, pick your cosmology, you know, but if I'm thinking of it as this stream of information, I can also think of it as, like, you keep using the word light quotient, is it? Is that right?
Yes.
So a very dry, sterile way of thinking of information is like bits, like ones and zeros. But what if we imagine and visualize that stream of information as like this beautiful stream of light, like every possible color in the spectrum that we're aware of, and then an infinite number of colors above and below that, all intertwined in this incredible complexity of swirls and whirls and vortices and geometries and music and thoughts and all sorts of surreal imaginations that are everything that we can embody and entertain with our limited human conceptions, and well beyond that, into an infinite spectrum of all possible information streaming toward us at any given time. So it's almost like this multidimensional, multifaceted, everything under the sun and everything in the rainbow and well beyond paint. And our opportunity is to select from all of the stream of that paint of experience as it comes in toward our personal canvas. Mm-hmm. What would we like to hit, to hit our canvas, and where and how? As we, let's say, open and close the different parts of our aperture to let a little bit of this in and a little bit of that in, and maybe a whole lot of this other piece over here that's like, whoa, what even is that? And then how we turn and rotate ourselves to allow this to kind of wash over us and to create that specific unique art piece that is our experience of this life moving through that ever-present stream of information and experience. What do you think about that?
I think that's spot on. That's more or less what I feel with this, is just giving ourselves all the different palettes, all the different hues to pick the pieces that resonate with what we're trying to create, like that beautiful art piece that we're wanting to create. If you knew you had access to all the colors evermore, and you know, your palette is endless, well, you're going to feel pretty powerful, and like you might be able to create the art piece that you're trying to create, and which in a sense is you. We are that piece of art, whether you're a dancer or a painter or poetry, or you just walk around with a big old smile on your face because you feel so, you know, wonderful because you have access to all this, these, you know, these hues of colors and modalities and ways of creating you as the living art piece. You know, this is, I think, more or less the goal for a soul, is to have the freedom of expression without being judged, and having access to all the materials that are desired by the soul to become the art in its living expression, in whatever that may be.
Awesome. How does structuring our time, which we're now sort of like building up this composite definition, which includes that, like, we're basically made of time in the same way that we're made of space, right? It's just, it's another layer of that composite that we, like the material that we sculpt our art piece out of, including our physical form. And now also this informational component that we've discussed. So how does structuring that with something like a calendar, a galactic calendar, for example, how does that help us? How does that provide us with a tool to craft our art piece? And also as a follow-up, you know, you can roll right into what is the galactic calendar?
Okay. So one of the main things that we see in this Gregorian calendar is it's a linear, and it's laid out like a string that goes out. And if you look at it, it's just going to go all the way down into the distance till you can't see it anymore. So for an experiencer of that type of time, if something comes and goes, the soul is going to feel like they missed the boat. It's not coming back again. And, you know, you've missed that palette, that hue of information. It'll never be again. So you messed up and you moved on. With the galactic calendar, it's cyclical. It's cycles within larger cycles, larger cycles, and larger cycles. And when you can look into the way the Mayan calendar and the Tolkien, which are parts of the galactic calendar, because basically what the galactic calendar is, a few different harmonic modalities that are all spirals and dynamics of evolution. As we roll through these different small, medium, larger and larger cycles, there's combinations that are had that will come back around. It's a spiral that you're not going to miss the boat forevermore. You may just have a new combination of data sets that come in between the different spiral dynamics, the small, the medium, and the large. As they intersect, they create a new combination of you know, an experience or that data set that you're able to go out and grab those palettes and those hues of colors to create the art that you are. And so this cyclical calendar leaves someone ready to keep looking. And I don't want to say keep looking forward, because when you really get into operating as an art piece, then time kind of is not so much of a thing that you have to keep track of. And I think that's inherently where we're going. And that's what I feel this galactic calendar does. It puts you into that space of not having to look forward or back to reanalyze yourself to see if you're doing right. You are just perpetually in this motion of co-creating and creating and taking in all this information to create that next step of yourself and that evolution of yourself. And, you know, it reaches a pinnacle and then you find a new larger cycle that comes through, like, oh, I get to grow again. And then a larger cycle comes in, like, I get to grow again. And I think that would really put people into a state of being that is more conducive for their evolution when they can realize that they haven't missed the boat, that they weren't too late and they didn't do the right thing, and start feeling guilty about the moves they didn't make, you know, for this particular date, they missed the timeline. We can sit here, because that's what I've been doing, because I've been using this galactic calendar for a couple years now, and I don't use it solely. I do still look at the Gregorian calendar, but I do a lot of cross-referencing to see if the things that I have planned out are in accordance with, you know, this galactic calendar and portal dates and tones and glyphs and things that make sense for me and what I'm trying to do. And I often find myself in the position that is more in tune with the galactic calendar and this cyclical type of energy that I didn't miss the boat. Those two solar eclipses that came through Texas, I had a lot of stuff planned to help the whole world, and the big plans and things that I wanted to do did not happen. But I did assess the situation as we went through that experience of those two solar eclipses that came across America. And it looks like some of those patterns that were within that system are still making themselves present in my future and with what I'm doing now. And it looks like some of those plans that I had with the solar eclipses are now really big opportunities that are coming forth again. And it looks like, oh, wow, I actually do get to do the project that was near and dear to my heart. I could still do that now. And so I didn't miss the boat. I'm actually more in tune with larger cycles within this galactic calendar that would assist more of a collective project to do what I wanted to do, this worldwide art piece of bringing humanity into harmonic balance.
Why is it called the Galactic Calendar?
So it actually started out as the Dream Spell Calendar. This calendar system was, I don't know if it was, they call it a channeling or a download, but a guy by the name of Jose Arguelles got information or whatever he took from the world around him. He started looking at multiple systems like the Mayan calendar, the Tolkien, the I Ching, and then the chakra system, and took all those different modalities and he blended them together to create this, again, what he called the Dream Spell Calendar. And then I don't know at what time people started calling it the Galactic Calendar, but I really like that. I like both names, but I think it was an attempt to get away from that, the Dream Spell, because people that were following the Mayan calendar that are really into that, they know about the Dream Spell calendar and how it adopted some of the Mayan calendar systems, but not all of it. And so I think that was just an attempt to kind of get away from the word Dream Spell, because people were like, oh, that Dream Spell calendar, that's the fake one. Someone downloaded it or channeled it in 1987, and that's not real. He was on, you know, psychedelics, and who you entrust a guy on psychedelics or something. I'm like, okay, hold on. Like, this thing's working for me. Like, you know, when I got into it, it came to me in the most auspicious, magical ways. I was literally in a place called Miracle Springs Ranch in Utopia, Texas, in the cosmic X marks the spot for the two solar eclipses that came in October last year and then April this year. And so I you know, take all those cosmic alignments and this information that came in, I can't deny that within the art piece of myself, you know, that I'm trying to create. And so galactic to me takes us off planet. It takes us into natural harmonics of the universe. And I think that's the magic that a lot of people are missing, because we're so wrapped up in this time equals money. We're here in the 3D world. We're working. I ain't got time for this. I come home and I just want to shut everything off except for the TV. I want to zone out. And they don't even know that they're this cosmic being having a human experience.
Is calling it the Galactic Calendar meant to imply that this is a calendar that is used elsewhere?
Ooh.
Not just on planet Earth, or is
it? I don't
it...
think so. I think, again, it was just an attempt to get away from the word Dream Spell Calendar.
Well, what does Dream Spell mean?
I didn't look up the definition of why Jose Arguelles named it that. But again, you know, like I did earlier, I take what words, what information comes in, and I take it through me. So Dream Spell to me is our collective dream. Like, we are, I mean, words are spells. Dreams can be prophetic. They can, affect the physical world, the waking world, in so many different ways, whether it's just aha moments from the dream. And now, you know, like my sister messaged me this morning, because she was also close to my friend that passed away from the drug overdose. And she woke up from a dream where he was in it, and a couple other friends were in it. And she expressed how, you know, he was sorry in the dream. And so now she has, you know, some kind of data set that is going to interact with her waking life. And so Dream Spell to me is, you know, we're each weaving our dreams of having living in a harmonic world where we get to express ourselves freely and not have to worry about a job and money and food and security and energy and all these things. So that would be the dream. And then to the spell to me would be to decree it into your world and be a walking, living example of what that may represent to you as you evolve through it. But yeah, Galactic is taking us off this planet and the dream spell is dreaming on the planet.
Okay. So let's get into the structure of the dream spell calendar or the galactic calendar. It seems to me it's based on cycles of 13. And there's some number of, as you put it, glyphs and tones. Mm-hmm. Those are collected into what, kin, are they referred to, or tribes?
Yeah, and I can do the basic because, again, like for me, I'm not like, you called me an expert. Personally, I wouldn't call me an expert, other than I definitely know a lot more than other people about this. And so that in that sense, I can be called that. But this calendar system is comprised of multiple cycles. So there's a cycle of seven with the seven chakra system. There is a cycle of 10. It's all fractals. So there's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, right? Fractals of each other. And then there's 7 and 14 and, you know, 21. And then there's fractals of the 13. And so there's a lot of different number systems within this that do those small, medium, and larger cycles of cycling through. So when you're looking, and what I recommend for people to do to just get started with looking into this galactic dream spell calendar system is to convert or find their personal galactic signature by typing in your birth date. And what you'll see is a tone and a glyph. The glyph is going to be this cool little, you know, art piece. Some of them look funny. And that would be the first and the last words of your galactic signature. So me personally, I am Blue Cosmic Knight. So my tribe is Blue Knight. My tone is cosmic. So there are 20 tribes and there are 13 tones. And so each of these have like, I mean, it's just so crazy how it works, but it's literally a combination of experiences or information sets. Like, so for instance, as we go through and cycle through each of the 20 glyphs or tribes, it would go out 20 and then another set of 20. But within that, you have only a cycle of 13 tones. And in the calendar system, you'll start at the tone 1, 2, 3, all the way to 13. And you're still in the tribes and you'll start the tones over. So these are these combinations of information that create different experiences. And then when you start to look at the months, those are also arranged in the same type of fashion. And then you look at the years and it's the same thing, but it's just combinations of experiences, tones with glyphs. And so when I'm traversing the galactic calendar and looking at what that day is, I could look at the tone and see the information there and I can stick with that only. Or I can look at the glyph and say, oh, wow, it's my tribe day, my glyph day. This is my tribe. That's not the tone for today, but my glyph is there. My tribe is there. So now let me look into the tone and see how that adds to the mix. And there's colors. There's red, white, yellow, and blue. And those four colors cycle themselves too. You know, red, yellow, white, blue, red, yellow, white, blue, red, yellow, white, blue. So it's just fascinating. There's so many little nuances to it. I mean, imagine if our Gregorian calendar had so many nuances. The nuance to that is like, oh, is it Easter? Or is it, you know, St. Patrick's Day or whatnot? Those tie us down to this worldly experience. And this galactic calendar really allows you to dive into tones, colors, intentions, chakras. So it's just fascinating.
This is the piece that I think to a lot of people sort of looks like a more complicated version of astrology. Mm-hmm. like it's like you said, there's what, 20 tribes, 4 colors, 11 tones, and then they get mixed and matched. They go around and around in a spiral. Well, they go around and around in a spiral of 13 days, and then they also go in some sort of really complicated, to me anyway, geometry that I can't even, it's hard for me to even describe. It's some sort of a grid of
the one that you're talking about that looks like it looks almost like a butterfly.
Yeah Mm-hmm. Right, there's a rectangular grid mm-hmm. of days looping on a 13 day cycle, but where certain days are highlighted for their significance. I guess they're referred to as portals, different kinds yes. of portals. Mm-hmm. So I guess, okay, so I'll just share with you, you shared your galactic signature. I'll share mine.
Yes.
My galactic signature is yellow spectral seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the affirmation for that is I dissolve in order to target, releasing awareness. I seal the input of flowering with the spectral tone of liberation. I am guided by my own power doubled. So this affirmation comes from the combination of my tribe, my color, and my tone, mm-hmm. where the spectral tone has to do with dissolving and liberation. I think of that spectral as like ghostly in that form, like not so much mm-hmm. spectral as in the spectrum of light, but spectral as in like a specter or a spirit, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then the yellow seed tribe has a lot to do with planting, growing, harvesting, nurturing, etc. And then for some reason, my guide is myself. That just probably mm-hmm. has something to do with the unique day of the year that lands on. And then I also have other glyphs and tribes which sort of surround mine. I have mm-hmm. an analog, an antipode, and an occult, as well as my guide. So all of this kind of like, to most people, I think would look like, oh, okay, this is like saying I'm a Virgo, but way more complex. and yet it's supposed to say things about me. It's supposed to describe features of my personality, my experience, my gifts, my challenges, all of that sort of stuff. You'd mentioned a couple of times during the conversation that this system, the galactic calendar, has been working for you. It works for you. It's helped you. And I've heard that from other people in our community as well. I personally have dabbled with it, but I would not say that I've used it because I've not really known how mm-hmm. one uses it, except as a kind of a daily astrology sort of thing. I mean, there's apps that you can get for your phone or websites that you can go to that give you a sort of a statement, an affirmation for mm-hmm. this day. And then you can kind of see how that interacts with the combination of your tribe and your tone.
Oh, the galactic signature.
Your signature, right. So mm-hmm. you can kind of see how like today's galactic signature has something to do with your galactic signature, kind of in an astrology sort of way, like a daily guide for life mm-hmm. or something. How do you use it?
So the way that I like to use it is, the first thing that I started doing was when I started getting into it, where it started making more sense for me, I started looking and typing in dates from my past experiences and looking at what was some of this calendar system saying then that I now have a perspective on looking back. So like I know exactly when we conceived Violet Ray. We kind of even almost know like the time and everything. And that day was a what they call a gap day or a galactic activation portal day. And this will go into what you were looking at, that butterfly looking thing on the part of the calendar system that's called the token. And in that you'll see those, whether they're colored in or they're green or whatever it is, but it looks like a little, like a butterfly. And essentially what that is that's the stitching of time. That's what binds time together. It's called the galactic butterfly, or it's also called the Hunab Ku. And the Hunab Ku connects you to the galactic central sun. So the way that I like to do it is I'll go back into these different experiences and I'll kind of look at, you know, that would be one thing. Was it a gap day? Usually I get discouraged if it wasn't, because it is more than not. But if it's not a gap day, then I would look at the tones. And the tone seven, for me is part of something that is a big, it, I don't want to call it a red flag, but it's a flashing light to me when I see the seventh tone.
What's tone seven?
That's the resonant tone.
Okay.
And San Antonio is the seventh largest city in the nation where I live. And so I've affectionately called, before I even learned this, I was calling it the seventh tone. And then Angel Robinson, her next Solarpunk summit is called Resonance, which is resonant resonance. There were things that were tying, when that other thing that you were saying, the it's called the kin or your oracle. And it's the other galactic signatures that were around you, upside, below, on your birthday. So basically it's the person that compliments you. There's the person that is your challenge. There is your guide above you. And then the one below you, I forget what they call it, but it's the one that's there to like elevate you to another level. And so I've kind of picked out who the people are that represent those galactic signatures that are in my life. For the most part, my sister is my challenge. I've had people that, when I, on my old TikTok account, I would be talking about this stuff, and then someone would find my video and say, "Oh my God, da 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 da," and then I look up their galactic signature, and it's for that day, and they're my compliment, and they're like showering me with all these literal compliments, and I'm looking at it like, "Holy smacks!" You're literally playing out what this galactic calendar system is hinting to. Because I know there's so much more deeper parts to it. So I don't like to get lost in the thing, but the easiest way I've been able to help people is by converting dates and looking at, and this is actually a modality that I'm leaning into, and I call it a living life review. And so I use galactic calendar, I use human design, I use the solar paths, the solar eclipse paths, and a lot of other things. But the main thing is your galactic signature, your human design, and then your astrocartography as well. But when you go back in your own living experience, whether it's a beautiful moment, a aha moment, or a depressing moment, you lost someone, or you know, you got kicked out of the house at 17 on this date, you can go back in time, convert dates, look at how the planets and the stars were aligned to, you know, what I'm seeing is that there is a correlation with the planets and the stars and all of that, and how they crosshair into where I am and when I am and my intentions and all that with time and space itself. And this is the galactic calendar has helped me see this cosmic undertone of information. And so that's how I like to start off with it. And then I'll also, you know, again, look forward into dates, but that's a little bit more predictive. And sometimes you get your head wrapped in things that you're looking for things that aren't necessarily there. Or if I were to see like, oh, coming up in this near future, I've got the resonant tone is going to be that day or whatnot. And then I wind up not even doing anything that day. It doesn't feel like that. But then I look back and I'm like, oh, but my person that is in my oracle or my kin came to me that day and we talked about this, that, or the other. And so there's a lot of different parts to this that you can dive into. But I think the easiest way to get started would be discovering your own galactic signature, looking at the main parts, which is colors, glyphs, tones, and then your oracle, who was around you, and maybe start to find out the people around you, just to get a that's why I remember yours. Amber's yellow sun. You know, I know some of the other people in my life, but I've got, actually, I want to update everybody in my phone to have their galactic signature and their human design. So I'm like, I know who I'm talking to. That's kind of how I like to use it, is just to go back in time and just dive into more of myself and the people around me and the place that I'm in.
Okay. So looking at the galactic signature for those dates where really significant, important events happen for you in your life gives you insight, gives you further insight into the meaning of those events in the context of the art piece of your life and of yourself.
And because some of these experiences, I didn't know about this, right? So I was literally running on, you know, whatever guidance that was, gut instinct or whatnot, or intuition. And we wind up doing things that we don't know why. Like, experiences happen, like you don't know why, but when you go back, there's things that your higher self, your guide, whatever it is, will blast out at you. And there should be something that starts to show you this reason why that happened, you know, at that particular time.
What is astral cartography?
Astral cartography is taking your astrology, the place and the time you were born, and kind of mapping out across the globe different themes. So the way I when you look at it, it's almost like this slightly curved kind of a line that comes out from where you were born. And one of those lines may have a theme of business and success. And then another line may have a theme of family challenges. And then another line will have a theme of like your love life. And so when you combine that with the time and intentions and all the other stuff, then you can also see like, oh, wow, I was, when I traveled, I took this vacation to Barbados or whatnot, which has this theme of love. I found my partner, and then, you know, things like that. So there's, ways of looking at your astral cartography, and that would put you on a geospatial map. And then you use the other ones to convert and look at like intention and, the time.
Are there specific resources that you have found particularly useful for yourself in terms of learning about the galactic calendar in particular? Is there a specific app or is there a specific website?
Multiple. Yeah, I do. I have some that I recommend that I use. For the galactic calendar, I recommend it's Synchronario, S-I-N-C-R-O-N-A-R-I-O. Synchronario 1320 for the galactic calendar. And then the Neutrino app, which is spelled N-E-U-T-R-I-N-O design, Neutrino design app for your human design. And quite honestly, I'm going to be, you know, transparent here. I don't use astrocartography that much. I don't have an app that I look at. I know that it's something that I am desiring and being guided to look more into. I have like, I know how to read the map and the chart system for that, but I haven't really dove into it. But I do recommend it. My guides are saying that, but I will be transparent and say it's not something that I'm really, really adept with and that I use on the regular, but I know it's part of this process because it is the geospatial mapping. So those two systems to convert, and then the astrocartography, take your pick. You can go look it up because those are more fixed situations. The galactic calendar stuff is going to maneuver when you look and convert dates, so you'll have to type those in. Same thing with the human design. But these are separate apps that you need to go to. And I'm in the works and I'm mind mapping, and I've got a team around me that, you know, we're just looking for the resources of the finances so I can pay some of our community to start building an app that has all of these charts and maps and all these modalities in one place for someone to go do this living life review. And we want to make it easy to have it where it's not, you're not traversing all these different apps because, you know, there's just so many other things to do in life. If you just had something that you can type in easily or take a glance at, we want to build that. And it'll be really cool. I've got a lot of great ideas for what that app's going to look like. If you can imagine a spiritual Ready Player One, oh my gosh, that's going to be freaking amazing, because we're going to gamify it. We're going to add so many different ways to entertain you while you are discovering more about yourself, but do it in a way that doesn't keep you stuck in another box and another app. So that's something in the works right now that people can, if they want to follow along and be on the beta list or the app wait list, you can sign up on my website and we'll do a 21-day check it out and give us some feedback so we can make it ready for the rest of the world.
Cool. I'll be happy to put your website in the notes. And I want to come back to the galactic calendar real quick. Mm-hmm. What is the day out of time?
The day out of time is a celebration of, just art. It's not work. It's not, cooking and cleaning and stuff like that. It is strictly dedicated to art because it is the day in between the two calendar systems. So, or the 2 years. So you have the galactic calendar is a 364-day calendar. And the Mayans would celebrate in the middle of summer this time between time. And it was a time just to come together and see each other and dance and play and just be without worrying about what is the glyph for today? What is the tone? What is it? It's like, don't even worry about time this day. We're just going to be. And that is what is it is in celebration for. And that keeps us, it's kind of like this thing that binds the two time calendars together, like from 1 year to the next. It's bound by the heart, right? Like art and expression and free, no judgment and all that, that's something to me that actually is a frequency of the heart. It's not intention. It's not, it's just being. And that's what that day is. It's a reverence to just being human.
Do you have any plans for the day out of time this year?
This year, yes. This will be the third annual Mayan Day out of Time celebration in San Antonio. Ever since I discovered these things, I was guided into throwing and hosting our own event here in San Antonio. And I'm really working to keep it in San Antonio. It's a little difficult, but we have a space that we have picked out and it is available for us. It's the Shriners Auditorium here in town. And we're putting an evening of art, dance, music, play, ciphers, and just being. And we will have vendors. So some of the people will be working because we're just, we're maneuvering through there. We got to show more people like this is a thing. But eventually I would not want to have even vendors maybe just so everybody can come and play. But right. Yeah. That's something that we put on and hopefully we'll be able to do it every year. But because it is in the middle of summer and safety is always paramount for me and the people that come to any of my events, if I don't raise the money to hold it in an air-conditioned place, I will forfeit the event and not put people outside. So, we are currently looking for some sponsorships and some donations to help us secure the location. And I think I got a phone call earlier that I'll be connecting with someone in a little bit, and they're ready to donate and sponsor some money so we can get it. But yeah, that's what we'll be doing this year.
Super cool. Well, I thought the one that was held outdoors 2 years ago was fantastic. And I'm certainly looking forward to the one this year. And if there's anything you like, any collaboration you want on that, please let me know. I thought that was a really super fun event. And I love just the whole idea of that celebrating a day out of time. Like a true holiday, like a proper holiday. Like this day doesn't even exist. That's how much that's how much of a holiday we're taking right now.
Exactly.
I think that's great. And promoting and just raising awareness of the whole idea of the galactic calendar and the philosophy of time is art and all these different things. I think it's super cool. So I'd love to be involved.
Yeah.
And absolutely. What is your biggest curiosity with regard to time?
If it exists outside of this place, I think right now, like you asked that question early on and I don't have an answer. So I like to be coherent and know things. And that's one of the things that I can say for a fact, I don't know. And there's a lot of talk on what is time and this and that. And we've gone back and forth a little bit and it's explained a little bit more to me, which shows it's not necessarily, it maybe doesn't have to be like a measurement system, but an operation system. And so it can shift and morph and time can, you know, be one thing at one particular point in your evolution, and time can be something completely different at another evolutionary point in your awareness. So that would be my question, is to maybe feel what that is like. But other than that, I'm kind of cool with just like, I'd like every day to be the day out of time.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, have you had a nice time?
I have had a nice time. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. This is super cool. Very rich for me. I've got a lot to chew on, a lot to think about here. I really, really appreciate you sharing all your wisdom and knowledge with me personally, and just kind of riffing on time. And, you know, kind of, I feel like we've broken a little bit of new ground, at least in my own mind. So yeah. Thanks a lot for this conversation, Harold. Absolutely. It was really great talking to you. All right. You have a great rest of your day, however it is you choose to measure it, Harold.
Absolutely. You as well, Beacon.
Thanks for joining me for this sacred conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And don't forget that the conversation can always continue. We can build on a topic that we've already talked about, and we can also start new topics and see how they all weave together. And that's just the exciting thing about this whole journey of exploration, is we don't know where it's going to go, but I'm really excited to find out with you. Please don't be shy to reach out and schedule your sacred conversation on whatever topic is interesting to you. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to talking with you soon.